Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Welcome in to Fantasy Pros. It is the Fantasy Football Podcast. I am Chris Welsh, a.k.a. The Welsh, and today we're talking about wide receiver tiers. Now, this is going to be a tough one, my friends, and we've got two contestants in the ring that are ready to battle it out for wide receiver tier rank brawls to the bloody end. In one corner, or square, or box, or however you want to look at it, we have got Fantasy Pros and Betting Pros' own Joe Pizzapia.
In the other crowd's going wild.
That sounds excellent. You hear him. Joe. The other corner.
Very nice.
We have playerprofiler.com's Billy Muzio.
Billy.
This will not. Sorry, I'm doing the most awful sound effect for this,
great.
Ladies and gentlemen. But that's what we're doing. This is not going to be a pay-per-view match because it's happening right here on Fantasy Pros for free for you. So make sure you guys are locked into the YouTube channel. Subscribe so you're notified when we do awesome stuff. Joe, Billy, are you guys ready to battle this out for some wide receiver tiered ranks?
Let's rock and roll.
Okay.
Let's do it. You know what? I feel bad for you, Welsh. You got stuck with two Italians arguing. This is like what every holiday is. So you're just kind of in the middle of us here. But you're a brave man. I just wanted to say that. And Billy, by the way, one of the best rankers on Fantasy Pros last couple years. You follow him on the top of the board. He's always there. So I'm slightly intimidated. I'm kind of the underdog here a little bit. But at the same time, Billy, I got to say, I'm not above using your cheat sheets in Draft Wizard if I need them when I'm looking for tiebreakers. I'm just saying.
Nice. I like to hear people using the cheat sheets. I always, the best thing is when you get the messages saying, you helped me win my fantasy league.
The best.
It's literally the best. It's why we do this. At least one of the main reasons why we do this. So I'm ready to rock and roll. Let's talk some wide receivers.
All right, let's do it. You guys are going to battle it out. Just keep it a clean match. Let's see. Keep the gloves on. Nothing crazy. Let's get to it. We've got tiers. We've got the superlative tier, A, B, C, D. We're going all the way down. The top tier, the number one dog here is two players. You guys have the same guys, Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase. But Billy, we're going to start with you because at Fantasy Pros, if you're not Ja'Marr Chase, you're last. That's how that goes because Joe has got Ja'Marr Chase there, but you have Justin Jefferson. So let's just have the conversation. What really builds around what is the separator for Justin Jefferson for you to be the top guy? And is there really any type of gap whatsoever between these two?
So I'm not going to argue if someone has Chase or Jefferson in the one spot. I do think that these two are interchangeable. The slight lean goes to Justin Jefferson for me, and it just breaks down to the other competition of targets. There is a lot of weapons inside the Cincinnati Bengals offense, and then we've also seen a recent calf injury to Joe Burrow. These two have technically swapped in my rankings multiple times when I do updates throughout the season. So whether you have Chase at one or Jefferson at one, I'm really not going to, you know, sit here and debate the two. I think they're both in their own tier. Joe has them in his own tier. I have them in my own tier. These two are the alpha receivers of the league right now, and you can't go wrong either way.
Joe, yeah, I agree 1,800 with yards. You move away from it, though. 1,800 yards. What made you follow the pack of D-Bro and Erickson here?
Here's the thing. Well, first of all, I'm second guessing now that you said that. But number two, I'm also looking at it as I'm the guy who last year was pounding the table for Justin Jefferson as the number one overall player. I think last year at the end of the year, what you saw was very interesting, though, because you saw kind of the blueprint laid out there in week 17 of how to slow down Justin Jefferson. And I think the rest of the league is going to say, OK, we see that now. And we see also Jordan Addison, and we see KJ Osborne. You see more athleticism there, too, when you have a real tight end in TJ Hawkinson, where I think they have a lot more options besides Jefferson. And it's not that Jefferson isn't super elite, because he is. That's why he's in the S tier. But I think the only thing that would change this flip-flop for me and move it back to Jefferson is, one, is if we even get Burrow to miss a week or two. If Burrow misses a week or two of the regular season, then I would flip-flop them and go with Jefferson, because every single week matters, every scoring period matters. But really, I think the way I'm stacking it up here is basically, I think that Cincinnati Bengals secondary lost some pieces year over year. I think they could be in some more shootouts. And that is a really good situation for an offensive line that played better in Cincinnati last year as the year went on, where Chase and Burrow, for a healthy, fingers crossed, 17 weeks together, could put up a special historic type season.
14.2 points per game last season in, I guess it's standard. Should probably be looking in half point PPR here. Justin Jefferson, 17.9 points per game last year in half point PPR, 15.3. My main point was to say there's roughly a 2-point difference between them. Just one last thing on just this top tier guy, Billy, is that you said, and I think the common answer would be like, oh, well, you know, if you want to have the other guy, you can have the other guy. But I mean, don't you think this Burrow injury and the concerns, even if he is there for week one, this is going to be lingering in. Don't you think that might be the separator of why you say, hey, listen, Justin Jefferson had 1,800 yards last year, 2 more points per game. I don't know if he has any more scary options than what's already going on in Cincinnati. He should be the clear-cut guy. I'm trying to get you to throw an uppercut haymaker over at Joe here to say, no, Justin Jefferson should be the guy.
Well, the thing is that Chase was number one in my rankings up until this last update. So there's a strong,
there's a
strong case for both of them. And the only reason why Chase actually took a slight dip was because of the potential of that calf injury lingering. I think across the board, there's a strong case to be made for Chase over Jefferson. That being said, I think that just as it stands today, you know, August 10th, 2023, I give a slight lean to Justin Jefferson. But Chase has a very compelling argument to be number one as well.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Rougette. Performance anxiety can happen to everyone, even the pros. Conquer performance anxiety with Rougette Ready, the latest advancement in erectile dysfunction. By combining the active ingredients in Viagra and Cialis with porphamine and dopamine, promoter Rougette Ready gives your brain and your body the pump up you deserve so you can give your partner the love they deserve without the added anxiety. Created by pharmacists, approved by doctors, and trusted by over 75,000 men nationwide, and loved by you and your partner. No in-person visit needed. Rougette Ready is now available in your state exclusively at rougettemen.com. Use that promo code FANTASYPROS for $40 off your first month plus free shipping. And if you'd rather call them, customer service is available 6 days a week at 855-581-9620. Again, 855-581-9620. Or you can head to rougettemen.com. That's rugiettemen.com. And use that promo code FANTASYPROS for $40 off at rougettemen.com. And now, back to the action.
Gentlemen, let's go to the A tier. The A tier of wide receivers. And Billy has got Stephon Diggs, Joe, at 5. This is 3 in the tier. Joe, you have him at the end of your tier, notably behind Garrett Wilson and Jalen Waddle. Mm-hmm. So, Joe, why do you hate Stephon Diggs?
I don't hate Stephon Diggs. I'm getting a little concerned with the Buffalo Bills window, though. I smell a little desperation. It smells a little bit like The Bachelor. I think a little bit where you have a bunch of situations here where the Bills get real close and they keep getting disappointed. And I think that you see McDermott taking over the play calling on the defensive side. I think that's really interesting, where some hands-on stuff, and sometimes you're holding on too tight because things are starting to go the wrong direction. I don't like some of the weird things that were going on the offseason there with Diggs too. It's not, look, Diggs is still a really good fantasy investment. He's still in that A tier for me. He's still in a top tier guy. But he has been in the league a pretty long time when you consider it, and he's been very healthy. And it's not that I'm automatically expecting the other shoe to drop. There's just a certain point where it comes to running backs when they get into that fifth and sixth year, I start to look for guys that are a little younger. And then the same thing with the wide receivers. When these guys are in the league 8, 9, even 10 years, I start to look and start to say, all right, now it's time to start looking at some of the younger, quicker guys. And guys like Waddle, who I think are in a great situation, saw all the targets he still got last year. And basically, that's like a two-person offense. It's him and it's Tyreek Hill. And that's all they do all day long. And I'm good with that. And then Garrett Wilson, who I really do feel like, you know, he saw all of the rookie year flash and potential. And now when you do add somebody who is just good at taking care of the football at this point in his career in Aaron Rodgers, and certainly a very highly motivated Rodgers, we know he likes to find that one single target. I think the upside there for those two guys is greater with the youth in 2023 than the veteran Stephon Diggs. So again, it's just a slight adjustment in thinking, but it's also a little preparation where I'm getting a little bit more insurance with the younger players as opposed to the guys who have been in the league for a very long time.
Billy, one of the things that stood out to me on Joe's side of this is he's behind Jalen Waddle. And you're talking about targets here. Well, Stephon Diggs was targeted the fourth most time of any wide receiver. And Jalen Waddle, obviously, is like a 1B wide receiver. But, you know, Diggs is only behind Tyreek Hill. Fourth most targeted wide receiver. I think many feel one of the better offenses in the NFL. When you see him that far back, how hard back do you have to push that? You know, I think a lot of people would say that Stephon Diggs might be closer to a first rounder than he is more of a back end second or third rounder.
Yeah, Stephon Diggs to me is a pretty clear cut, you know, middle of round one pick. I think his targets are undeniable. You mentioned he's top five in the league in targets. Mm-hmm. He was top five in the league in red zone targets as well. Top six in air yards. Target rate at 30.6% was top six. You know, yards per route run, which is a great indication of a wide receiver's success and future success in the league. Even though he has been in the league a fair amount of years, to Joe's point, he still had 2.87 yards per route run, which was number three in the league. And I just like the fact that he's tied to the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen here. And when we look at the numbers and we dive into the actual projections, Buffalo has a much higher pass rate in comparison to Aaron Rodgers and what he has done throughout the past few years. We can't say the Jets because it's a new offense, a new system, and Aaron Rodgers is now in town. So when I look at the numbers, I'm tracing Aaron Rodgers' past in comparison to Josh Allen's past, and we can safely say that the Buffalo Bills should pass significantly more than the New York Jets. And we know that the Buffalo Bills don't really have a clear-cut wide receiver two. Yes, they have Gabe Davis. Some people would count him. Some people won't. Outside that, they have a rookie tight end who's coming into the mix. They have, you know, James Cook, who's going to be more involved in the passing game. But that gives Stephon Diggs a pretty clear-cut number one role inside of this offense, where we can expect somewhere between 27 and 28% target share. And a team that is projected to probably throw the ball top 10 amount of times in the league, I want to have that number one receiver on my team. And it just leaves me less doubts and less question marks in comparison to somebody like Wilson.
Real quick, Billy's 100% right in everything he said there. But it's the ninth year, averaging 160 targets 3 years in a row. My concern is that is a level of very high productivity. You don't see that usually go 4 or 5 years for any player, even at their peak. And this is year nine for Stephon Diggs. And some of those pieces like James Cook, Damien Harris, where I think they're going to start to balance out this offense a little bit because what they've been doing hasn't been working. So I think at the end of the day, when they start to balance this offense a little bit more and spread the ball around a little bit more, he can potentially come back to the pack a little bit. I think it's smart to keep Diggs on the field that way. And the other thing is, I think it's just better for the Buffalo Bills offense to give that look to opposing defenses, because I think right now they've been very tunnel vision and it's gotten them pretty far, but it hasn't gotten them over the hump yet. And I think that's something that they realize at this point.
And I guess there's a floor too, though, with Diggs to consider that he has had eight or more touchdowns in five of his last six seasons. So even if an overall target share were to come back down, he's become the primary touchdown wide receiver, which I think creates a floor. That's what the interesting conversation is. Here's another one just like this. So keeping in the A tier, this is almost a similar instance of what we're talking about with Stephon Diggs with Davante Adams. So Davante Adams shows up in the middle tier of A for Billy, yet he's the last in the A tier for you, Joe. So do you think this is a Jimmy Garoppolo problem, or do you think this is going to be a Davante Adams problem?
I think it's a Jimmy Garoppolo problem that becomes a Davante Adams problem, if I'm going to keep it real here on the program. And I was somebody last year that was, you know this, Welsh, I drafted Davante everywhere because I'm thinking Derek Carr is Derek Carr. He's fine. He's league average-ish kind of guy. He's going to have tunnel vision for Davante Adams. They have a chemistry. They have a history together. And guess what? It was really good. He was wide receiver three last year, and he was going sometimes into the second round. There was no draft with me in it where he made a pass the turn. I was taking Davante every single time. Sometimes at 10, I would even go and take him. This year, I feel a little differently because Garoppolo historically health-wise has not been great. I know he had that one splash game last year when Carr wasn't around, but again, same set of circumstances. I'm looking at the history here of how many years we've been in the NFL here. We're talking about a guy who saw 149 targets, 169 targets, 180 targets last year. And I think eventually when you get these guys who are in the league 10 years, you see the drop off, whether it be the AJ Greens of the world or, you know, some other wide receivers that, you know, historically we looked at and go, you know, Julio Jones, high target, high productivity guys, they start to get up into that 30 year, you know, kind of season, 9-10 years in the league. This is when the drop off happens. I'm not saying it's going to go away. I'm just saying I like the other guys and the situations in those offenses more.
Billy, I've always kind of pushed back, kind of like what Joe's saying a little bit on the falling knife theory of the guy is aging. I don't want to be the one that's grabbing him when he's finally going to tail off. The problem is Adams just isn't really showing a sign of this. Since 2016, if he has played at least 14 games, he is scoring you 11 or more touchdowns. Reception-wise, he has had over 100 or 100 four of his last 5 years. He's one of the best route runners in the NFL. Maybe you could argue this A-tier might have sub-tiers inside of it, but I feel like the biggest argument that exists around him is either Jimmy Garoppolo is going to stink, which is possible. We're both 49er fans. We know how this goes. Or it's going to be that you're chasing the falling knife with Davante Adams. And I don't know if I can play that. But what say you?
I can't believe I'm actually defending Davante Adams because I have been the one that have been saying I'm fading him this year at cost. But in the most recent update, he moved up slightly because I don't think that we can, you know, overlook the holdout of Josh Jacobs right now. That is a lot of targets. That is a lot of opportunity. And I don't think that they're going to lean into the running game with Josh Jacobs off the field. Now, this is a hypothetical situation currently, but we do have to account for it. Nonetheless, I also agree that it is going to be more of a Jimmy G issue than it is going to be Davante Adams. I think at this point, he is pretty much quarterback proof. That being said, I think that his target rate and his target share that he is going to be acquiring is going to be so high that it's going to offset the amount of incompetencies that we are going to see from Jimmy Garoppolo. Target share last year at 32.6%, number one. Target rate at 30.8%, number five. He was wide receiver four in snap share. He's always on the field at 94.6%. He had 180 targets last year. Now, I do expect some regression in that category, but I do expect him to be, you know, in the upper echelon of targets for this season. Red zone targets, always an animal as well. Number five in the league. Deep targets, which Jimmy Garoppolo is not known for deep targets. So again, we expect this number to regress as well. That being said, I could see his catch rate going up from last year. I do think that he is going to be so heavily involved in this offense that the inefficiencies are going to offset. And I do think that there is a potential for even more target share because we're hearing scuttle that they may move on from Renfro. We just saw them cut OJ Howard. They're making consolidations inside of this wide receiver target tree as well as the tight ends, which is going to open up even more opportunities for Davante Adams. I did not think I was going to have to defend Davante Adams today, quite frankly, because I have been on the opposite spectrum because I am a 49ers fan and I know what Jimmy Garoppolo is capable of doing to his weapons. That being said, Davante Adams just built a little differently.
Yeah. Well, I set you up to bring Jimmy down a little bit. So yeah, you'll be okay. We'll be okay. Last one in the A tier. This is a really fascinating one. You two have all the same players in your A tier. So if people are going to Fantasy Pros, you're checking out all the ranks, you're going to see you guys have the same guys, except for one. There's one guy. There's one outlier. Chris Olave. Joe has Chris Olave on here higher than Adams. So, Billy, what made you keep Olave out of the A tier where Joe has really jumped him up?
I have him the first and of the next year. So we're very close here inside of our rankings. It just breaks down to a healthy Michael Thomas. If Michael Thomas was going to be, you know, missing more games, I think it's a clear case for Olave to be inside of this A tier. He just misses this for me, not by much. I mean, he is right there for me. So I think, you know, this is splitting hairs. But at the end of the day, it's going to break down to target share this year. Last year, he saw 26.7%, but that was without Michael Thomas on the field. They only have Kamara suspended now 3 games versus the 6 that everybody was expecting. So his target share just came down a bit for me in that last update as well. They're, you know, looking to possibly add another running back to the mix. They were looking to add, you know, Kareem Hunt this week. It hasn't happened yet, but it just tells you that they're going to be continue to add other weapons, which could ultimately affect a few targets here and there. Bottom line is it just breaks down to target share, target rate, and then the other weapons in comparison. So I really like Chris Olave, but he just misses this tier for me slightly.
So, I mean, are we going to the moon, Joe, with Chris Olave? You have him over Devontae Adams. That's a big play. He's obviously an explosive time wide receiver. But, you know, all those reasons, Thomas is back. Is he Thomas-less proof?
I'll believe it when I see it. Again, you know, we can talk about fairy tales all we want, and Michael Thomas playing might be one of the great fairy tales of our time at this stage in the game. And most fairy tales end badly, too, if you go and read some of those grim fairy tales. They are grim for a reason. So, look, whether Michael Thomas is on the field or not, I don't hate the fact that Michael Thomas is on the field. That's good. That means he's going to get more attention from the defenses, and that means that Chris Olave is going to get some favorable coverages sometimes, because Michael Thomas, once upon a time, was, to stay with the fairy tale theme, somebody you really had to account for. I think the more weapons you have on the field, the more dangerous your offense is. Chris Olave, let's make no bones about it here. Chris Olave is the best talent at the best age right now in this offense. And any coach with any half a brain is going to realize that, recognize that, and utilize that. And now you're getting a much better quarterback situation there. We're not talking about Andy Dalton and Taysom Hill and whoever else we're throwing a quarterback. We're talking about Derek Carr, who's given us good fantasy seasons, from Amari Cooper, who's got ups and downs in his game. Look at what he did last year with Devontae Adams. And now you're dropping him in there with a chip on his shoulder. And Chris Olave, who had a phenomenal career at Ohio State, who came in last year and looked fantastic in terrible circumstances. To me, Chris Olave is that guy who's ready to make that tier jump. So, like I said, Billy and I are kind of splitting hairs there. I'm ready to take the jump. He's still sitting outside the pool. But to me, Olave is one of those perfect guys that if you go running back early in your drafts and you're trying to get a guy who could be a number one wide receiver, if he makes it to you in that third round, you pounce on that every time, because I do think he's going to finish as a wide receiver one this year.
Bedtime stories with Joe and Billy. Yes. They drafted Chris Olave as wide receiver one, and they lived happily ever after.
Yes, they did.
Football season is just about here, like actual football season. We're about to get into it. And if you're like us here at Fantasy Pros, you're planning for your, you know, stadium trips, you're going to get your games in, but it's just not quite time yet. But that doesn't mean you can't start getting in on tickets in other spots like baseball games, concerts, comedy shows. And the best way to get tickets to any of these games and the games you're planning in the near future is the fastest growing ticketing app in the U.S., Game Time. For last minute amazing deals on tickets to see your favorite baseball teams, bands, comedians, download Game Time. Again, it's not just sports. August means huge summer concerts, comedy shows all across the country, and Game Time has got your tickets. Download the Game Time app and redeem code FANTASYPROS for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, download Game Time app, enter code FANTASYPROS for $20 off no matter where you live. Get out and have some fun this week. Download Game Time today and enter code FANTASYPROS. Last minute tickets, lower price guaranteed.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And Stan, we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
All right, let's go over to the B tier. B tier of wide receivers moving down, DK Metcalf. Joe, DK starts your tier off here and ends the tier with Billy. So things are going to start opening up. Are you not worried at all by Lockett, JSN? There's new weapons there. Little spoiler, I actually didn't put him on here, but you also, I believe, are pretty high into the next tier of Tyler Lockett. So I know you like this offense, but are you not worried at all about where the balls are going to go for DK Metcalf to be this high up on the list?
I'm more worried about JSN and Tyler Lockett potentially kind of eating each other alive than I am about DK Metcalf. You know, DK Metcalf's that guy that when you use him in the man coverage, he's beaten man coverage. He should have had more touchdowns last year. He could potentially have more touchdowns this year. These rankings are based on half point PPR. So in the half point PPR, DK Metcalf, because again, age, situation, all of that, I'm pretty sure I know who he is. Whereas Tyler Lockett and JSN, look, if Lockett has any injuries, JSN really benefits. If you have a situation where, JSN really starts to show out and Tyler Lockett starts to look a little old, JSN wins out there too. But if JSN starts to show you situations where he's still learning and still figuring out the NFL level because it is a more advanced spot and he's going to have to deal with some defenses and some head coaches in that own division too that are pretty good, then it could be a slower learning curve, in which case Tyler Lockett starts to rebound. Either way, I keep looking at this as, well, DK's probably set up for success regardless, and I can identify who he is and what he could be in this offense, whereas the other guys are almost, like I said, I don't know if both can succeed, and that kind of hurts both their value to me in some way, but DK I feel pretty good about still.
Well, Geno's really interesting too here because Geno was super efficient when you get inside the red zone. I believe he had the most passes in the red zone with Josh Allen and tied for the most passing touchdowns with Josh Allen, the lead at the very top. And you're looking at another weapon that spreads the field in JSN, which if you're going to be in that red zone, DK Metcalf is going to even be more of a force and the defenses are spread out a little bit more. But Billy, I feel like, I mean, I'm projecting a little bit, so you tell us, but it looks a little bit more like you are worried about the extra weapons that have gone into Seattle for you to jump in on the DK Metcalf train.
Yeah, it's just the extra weapons. And then it's just about them spreading the ball around a little bit more. Seattle did run the most 12 personnel. So Joe and I have had this discussion before, where we both believe, you know, JSN is probably the odd man looking in to mm-hmm. Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. That being said, DK Metcalf has never been, you know, a massive target guy. He had 129 targets in 2 years straight, 2020 and 2021. Last year jumped up to 141. That being said, any additional added weapons is going to be a detriment to that target rate and target share and overall number of targets. And so we have to look at his overall output and his fantasy points per game as well. He's only been inside the top 10 at the position once in his career so far. He's actually only been inside the top 20 once in his career, which was that same year, which was 2020. And so we've actually seen Tyler Lockett outperform him in fantasy points per game the last 2 years. And it was very close, in 2020. I just think that DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett are closer than people want to really, you know, come forward and say, and JSN is still going to make a dent inside of their overall numbers. In the addition, they also, you know, added a round to running back and they continuously run the ball as well. And so I don't think that trend is going away either. So I have some doubts about DK Metcalf. I like him as a talent. He's an athletic freak, but there's just so many people in this tier that I prefer, like Devontae Smith, T. Higgins, you know, Jerry Jeudy, Keenan Allen, DeAndre Hopkins, who have, you know, more favorable situations one way or the other. And I just typically would like to lean that way over DK Metcalf in drafts.
In PPR, I would be sliding DK down in the half. Basically, then that's where I like him a little bit more. But in the PPR, I do agree with Billy, where Keenan Allen would be above him, Devonta Smith, even T. Higgins, depending on the health of Burrow, also same thing for me. So just that would be the adjustment. And I think that's so important too. Never forget, you know, it's all about the context of the league you're playing in and looking at some of those guys who have the touchdown equity and some who have a little less of it. You know, and whenever you're the second banana, regardless of Devonta Smith and T. Higgins finishes wide receiver ones last year, let's be honest, they always have that thing holding them back, which is when they play with real alphas, those guys are usually going to outpace them in touchdowns. And I think the DK Metcalf is still the touchdown alpha in that offense potentially in 2023.
The only problem is that those you know, T. Higgins in particular, those offenses pass a lot more.
They do.
Than
they do. You're
Seattle.
100% right.
So the number two could be in line for just as many, if
absolutely.
Not more targets.
Especially
than the
if there's
one.
An injury, right, Billy? Like, yeah. If there's an injury to Chase, if there's an injury
forget
to A.J. Brown,
it.
Forget about it. Those guys have more appeal. But we can't always necessarily think that's going to happen, especially the guys who are still young and in their prime. Sometimes we can look for that with players like Keenan Allen and say, okay, well, you know, if Keenan Allen gets hurt again or Mike Williams gets hurt again, that's why Quentin Johnson becomes such an interesting player this year.
Yeah, I think contingent value is valued differently depending yeah. upon the player's health. But overall, just volume in general is hard to ignore with a lot of those players.
All right, let's go over to the wide receiver tier board. On the B's, we're adding Amari Cooper here. Now, Billy, Joe has Amari Cooper as a B-tier wide receiver. This is, we are truly in the range where we're getting some big separators here, but he's a C-range wide receiver to you. In my mind, when I saw this, I started to think about my own personal worries about Deshaun Watson. I know some aren't. He stunk last year. I think a lot of people are like, he'll brush it off and he'll be good to go. Cooper is the main guy there. I view this personally as being something about Deshaun Watson, but you tell me, is it or is it something else why he fell out of this range versus Joe's?
No, I'm coming around a little bit more on Deshaun Watson. I had some concerns to start the season. It's looking like he is playing a little bit higher caliber in camp right now. That being said, it's clearly based upon the chemistry that we saw with Amari Cooper and Deshaun Watson last year. When we started off the season, and we actually take a look at the game logs, Amari Cooper was on fire. He had several top 10 finishes and fantasy mm-hmm. points. And then we saw, you know, insert Deshaun Watson, and his eyes were kind of drawn elsewhere in this offense, where he was actually favoring Donovan Peoples-Jones over Amari Cooper. Now, I don't necessarily think that trend's going to continue, but it is a bit concerning to see him go from, you know, three top 10 finishes, one just outside the top 10 early in the season, to nothing better than wide receiver 20 in finishes, and then, you know, a bunch of 40s, 50s, and 60s throughout the mix. And so that chemistry is a bit concerning. Add in the fact that they added Elijah Moore with more competition for targets, and the fact that they're going to be able to use him all over the field. I think it's going to eat into Amari Cooper quite a bit. Joe has been pressing the age thing quite a bit, so I'm going to dip into this well. He's 29 yeah. years old, you know, similar to every other receiver we just discussed at the age. And it's not like Amari Cooper has been this dominant force like Devontae Adams or Stephon Diggs. He's only had 132 targets last year, 103 the year before, has not eclipsed the 80 reception mark in over 2 years. You know, only 1,000 yards once in the last 2 years. And so I have a lot more concerns with Amari Cooper this year in comparison to most analysts.
Yeah, I'll say this to Billy's point. This is kind of a guardrail ranking for me of a guy who finished in the top 10 wide receivers last year, because I don't know how much we can really take out of last year with Deshaun Watson. I think basically you crumple up and throw it away. I think what matters most is what you see this year in the preseason, this year in training camp. And to Billy's point, he mentioned Elijah Moore. I will have, I guarantee you, way more shares of Elijah Moore at his ADP, because I do have a piece of that upside offense, and I know Billy and I see eye to eye on that one 100%. And I draft him everywhere. He's on all my teams already in every early draft. I'll have far less of Cooper because there is what Billy's talking about, which I was talking about earlier. The downside of the age, the downside of maybe he's just not the guy for Deshaun Watson. Could that be true? Absolutely. At the end of the day, right now, this is, like I said, it's kind of a placeholder ranking for me, because if Watson does get back to any sort of form that he showed you previously, it's hard not to imagine him getting into that wide receiver one range. And I think that's still, I don't want to drop him too far out of it.
Yeah, I'm a little bit more risk tolerant than the average Joe. I will push Same. Them up or down. No placeholders, Joe, here.
But that's the one that's it's such a unique one. And I could tell you this, if it doesn't look good in the preseason, then I could say to myself, all right, now yeah. I've got to make adjustments and cover myself the other way. But to Billy's point, I guarantee you I will have very little shares of Amari Cooper this year because of the ADP. And I will have a lot more shares of Elijah Moore, because if I want to roll the dice with that risk reward, Moore's the guy to do it. He's the explosive guy. He's the guy that could get some coming out of the backfield touches. He's the guy that could get some slot work. He's the guy that can do a lot of things. He's that weapon that I think that the Browns have been looking for. And you add him into that mix, I think it becomes a really interesting piece.
Gentlemen, the only thing better than spending summer outside with friends is spending summer outside with friends and beer. Joe yes. and Billy, you would be my S tier of friend beer choices here. But it can't just be any beer. It's got to be Miller Lite, the 96-calorie beer that tastes like beer and is perfectly brewed for everything summer has to offer. Let Miller Lite be the Pied Piper to start an in-person draft this season. So, like, call your friends. Hey, what's going on? Before they even say a word, crack open that Miller Lite and watch your league mates lock in. With Miller Lite in your hand, summer doesn't just taste great, it tastes like Miller Lite. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/fantasypros. That's MillerLite.com/fantasypros, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories, 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces. Gentlemen, getting into the back part of this B tier, we're going to talk about a couple more guys, and we're going to be moving down, moving a little quicker here. I think maybe the most divisive wide receiver in all the valuing and ranks this year is Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley is kind of tough. Joe, Ridley comes in as a B tier for you versus the C tier for Billy. So Billy just talked about kind of that maybe risk averseness and willing to take some shots. Maybe not here. You are. So let's talk about Calvin Ridley.
Billy is a great ranker. And what makes Billy such a great ranker is the fact that he is sometimes unwilling to push too far too fast with things. He wants to see it first, and that discipline is great. I think the thing that makes me a dangerous fantasy player in all these expert leagues where I keep taking down these championships, Welsh, is that I'm willing to take those risks in calculated spots. Where Ridley's going right now, I think he's a value because the upside is there. Yes, he hasn't played in a year. Yes, we have all these question marks, but so far what you see out of training camp looks very good. He's playing with, I mean, arguably the best quarterback that he's ever had a chance to play with in the NFL too. I mean, I think we can say that now without any sort of arguing. And Calvin Ridley, if he should start to tick up too high, does become a risk that I am a little bit more afraid of. So currently at the ADP I'm in, if you look at fantasypros.com and the consensus rankings, he's going somewhere in that, you know, that mid to low wide receiver two range. And I love that kind of upside because I think he's capable of at very least having wide receiver one games. And that's the thing that really matters to me at that point. Can I draft a guy in that two spot who's going to have wide receiver one games? Maybe he doesn't finish as a wide receiver one. Can he have those moments? Can he have six of them? Maybe even eight of them throughout the year. Maybe I'll take some lumps because there's some other guys in that offense who are going to get targets. But at the end of the day, I think the upside here is very special. I don't want to push it too much, but I am going to push it further than Billy. I'm fascinated, Billy, why you at this point still have Ridley so low down. Is it just the time off or a combination of you just haven't seen it?
I feel like it has to be the ADP here because who doesn't want Calvin Ridley in the skill set? One of the most talented wide receivers in the NFL. It's just got to be the cost, right, Billy, that you have to pay for a guy that was out for a year.
No, it's more than just the cost.
No.
So Joe says he's a value. I think he's being way overdrafted in drafts. He's going right now at the FFPC as wide receiver number 15. That is extremely.
And I've got him at 18. So that's my high point. So to Billy's point in those high stakes leagues, you have to know in the high stakes leagues, people are going to be more aggressive. Billy knows this.
They're very aggressive.
They're very aggressive. So you're not going to see that in your casual Yahoo league or your CBS or your sleeper league. He's probably going to be more like the ADP you see on the site. But to Billy's point there, 100%, that's my limit. That's where I'm like, okay, that's where we have to kind of cut it off. So go ahead.
Yeah, he's going ahead of DK Metcalf right now in drafts, ahead of Keenan Allen, ahead of Jerry Jeudy, ahead of Debo Samuel. And I have a lot of concerns with with Calvin Ridley. He's only eclipsed the 100 target mark once in his career, which is 2020. It was his blow up year where he finished as the wide receiver 4 in fantasy points per game. He's only eclipsed the 1,000 yard mark that one year. He's only eclipsed 900 yards that one year. Since then, he's never actually had over 866 yards. He's actually missed a year and a half of football. He was suspended last year, and then he actually left the year before due to mental health concerns. And so now he is 28 years old, almost 29 years old. He's been out of the league for a year and a half, hasn't played football. He's now inserted into a new offense with a new coach, with a new system, with a new team. There's a lot of chemistry that has to be developed here, a lot of trust. And it's not like he's the only weapon. Where in Atlanta on that breakout year, Julio Jones got hurt that year, and they were force-feeding him the ball, which that's the reason why he got the 1,300 yards. he's not going to be in that same scenario this year. As cliche as it sounds, there's a lot of mouths to feed inside of this Jaguars offense. They have Christian Kirk, who's shown to have a chemistry already with this team. They also have now two dynamic pass-catching backs with Etienne and Biggs. They also have a elite tight end in Evan Engram. And so I don't think that Calvin Ridley is just going to step into this massive workload that people are expecting. And they seem to be blindsided by the fact that even when he was in his quote-unquote prime, it never equated to that much production. And so I can't possibly put somebody inside the top 15 or even top 18 of my projections when they have yet to show it their entire career. Now they're at the point where they're at that tail end of their career age-wise. We've talked about the age cliff multiple times in this podcast, but now we're at a point where he hasn't played. He's at the age cliff. He's never actually physically done it outside of 1 year. If you look at the statistics, he's only finished as wide receiver 18 in fantasy points twice. And that was, and that other year was 866 because they had seven touchdowns. And so he's going to be very touchdown dependent in order for him to even return any value at this cost. And I just don't like chasing touchdowns in fantasy football.
Okay. Last one we're going to do in the B tier. And then we're going to be moving into the CDs and Fs and a little bit more punchy. This one is probably the biggest difference between you two. There's a two tier difference. And Billy, we're going to start with you because DeAndre Hopkins is a B-tier wide receiver for you. Joe, giving him a D. No passing grade for DeAndre Hopkins. So how is there such a big gap for you, both of you guys, Billy? And what has made you jump back in to a Titans offense? Yes, that will be able to litter Hopkins with targets, but what's got you all in?
So Hopkins is just one of those people that I think age just hasn't really applied to him yet. He showed no signs of showing down last year in the nine games that he played. He finished as wide receiver 9 in fantasy points per game in those nine games. In nine games, he had 96 targets, 64 receptions, 700 yards, and 3 touchdowns. I know it's a new offense with a new system, a new coach, and things that I just kind of counter-argued against myself with DeAndre Hopkins. That being said, some people are matchup-proof. And then if you look at the rest of these weapons inside of Tennessee, there is a lot left to be desired. Outside of two players, so we really only have Treylon Burks and Chigo Okonkwo. Outside that, there's not even a receiver that I think is really an NFL caliber wide receiver on this team. So there's going to be a very consolidated target tree in this offense. I think you can safely project DeAndre Hopkins for 27% target share. That still leaves Treylon Burks with, 22-23%. That still leaves Chigo Okonkwo with 14-15%. And then the rest of the targets kind of get scattered out throughout the rest of the team. Last year, we saw DeAndre Hopkins in his limited capacity have a 29.6% target rate. We saw 29.4% target share. So I am baking in some regression with the new team. That being said, he's going to be the clear-cut number one. He's going to be the number one option inside of the red zone as well, where he has typically dominated throughout his career in 50-50 balls. I don't think that's going to slow him down on this Tennessee Titans offense. The fact that they went out and acquired him tells me that they are looking to compete this year. If they did not, I would have been a little bit more concerned with this passing game. But the fact that they acquired him tells me they kept Derrick Henry, tells me they're probably going to roll with Ryan Tannehill all the year, and then they're going to try to compete. So like DeAndre Hopkins this year, and I think that he is a candidate for a potential dark horse top 12 wide receiver.
Joe, any thoughts you want to jump in because you guys are so different here?
Oh, yeah. Here's all the thoughts I've got, and I'm going to lay it out. I see it less like a target tree and more of a target stump. I think that's more what it looks like at this point. Billy's point about he hasn't shown any signs of decline. Forgive me, but wasn't this a guy just coming off a PED suspension? So just saying, like, some of the things we got to talk about. We want to talk about Calvin Ridley's myriad of issues, and those are all fair. But let's talk about DeAndre Hopkins, an aging wide receiver who's got a lot of mileage under this belt coming off a PED suspension. So I don't know what really is left in the natural tank of DeAndre Hopkins at this point. And then when we factor in this is not exactly the most pass-happy offense out there in the nation. The Tennessee Titans are not exactly known for slinging the football around all day long. They like to play defense, run the football with Derrick Henry. And look, yes, he's the number one there. And yes, he will get the volume and the quality of that volume. I question, though, what the downside is as the season goes on for this team. Ryan Tannehill has not exactly had the picture of health the last few years. He's been in the league a long time, too. Tannehill gets hurt. What are we moving to? Will Levis? because we're not moving to Malik Willis, because last time I was getting phone calls when they wanted to start somebody else besides Malik Willis last year. So there's some problems here in terms of what the potential downfall of a Hopkins is. And this is why I'm so much higher on a play like Zay Flowers, right? Zay Flowers is a wide receiver to me that I think he's already the one in this offense. He's young, he's fast, he fights for the football. Those are the guys that I want. Yes, it could be some growing pains in the first few weeks of the season, but when I get down to the stretch in the playoffs, I see a guy like Zay Flowers helping me more than a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, because I'm worried about what the deterioration is over the season for Hopkins, the player, Tennessee, the offense. And I think that is something we have to kind of project a little bit in our minds when we're looking at these investments we're making. So everything Billy said is absolutely correct, because everything usually Billy says is correct. However, I'm just projecting into the future on this player in this offense, and this ecosystem is not one that I'm really excited about from a fantasy perspective, where I think I look at the Ravens and the upside of what they might do this year as being something I'm way more interested in getting, say, Flowers than I am in DeAndre Hopkins this season.
And we can put this on the board here,
Billy,
as well.
Come on, this is gonna get like the this is gonna Christmas episode of The Bear.
So let's put Flowers on the seat here though.
Throw the fork, Billy.
Let's do that.
Throw the fork.
I was gonna say, wait, you have Zay Flowers ahead of DeAndre Hopkins?
I believe I do, if memory serves.
Joe has Zay Flowers as a C-tier wide receiver, so put him on the board.
Right.
Billy does not have him listed here.
Joe's been drinking the sponsorship already. He's already drinking that Miller Lite.
Let's go. I cracked into those Miller Lights, and I'm going to be cracking into some more when he wins me a bunch of championships. But I look, dude, this is why it's fun. We debate these things, and Billy's going to throw the fork at me at some point, and that's great. But I mean, you see the way the league is going, and we see these rookie wide receivers every year make an impact. And of all the rookie wide receivers, who's got the clearest path to targets? Who's got the clearest path to be the guy, regardless of whatever you think the limitations are of the Ravens? It's Zay Flowers. So now I'm going to make that investment and look to the future instead of trying to live in the past with Hopkins. That's where I'm at.
But the only problem is that we have Zay Flowers, who I like Zay Flowers. But you just talked about the target stump. Baltimore isn't necessarily the model of pass attempts.
No, it's more of a bonsai tree. Yes,
so
you're not wrong.
Now he has a lot more competition for targets. He's got an alpha tight end. He's got an aging, but also a wide receiver who's very loud and is going to be probably trying to command more target shares than he deserves.
Maybe.
You have
maybe.
Bateman.
Don't sell me Rashad Bateman because he's never there. Don't sell me Rashad Bateman.
Who's now on the field. But yes, we can account for him maybe missing some games. But
Tom,
but
come on,
DeAndre Hopkins is pretty clearly going to see 25%+ of the target share. I gave him
in week six when Will Levis is throwing him the football, Billy. I'm going to send you a six pack of Miller Lite
beer.
I think you're going to need it then.
We're getting into round nine. It's getting too punchy.
Come on.
Let's get into your own corners here. We got to move on. We can't talk 12 minutes about Zay Flowers, as fun as this podcast is here, guys. C-tier. We've already got Zay Flowers there. I'm going to do this. You each have a wide receiver that is in your C-tier, and then the opposite, you have the other guy in the D-tier. So what am I saying here? Brandon Ayuk is a C-tier wide receiver for Joe, D for Billy. Chris Godwin is a C-tier for Billy, D tier for Joe. So keep it under like 30 seconds. Billy, let's start with you. Chris Godwin over Brandon Ayuk. Why?
This one just breaks down to the overall attempts. I don't think the Niners, and this is coming from a Niner fan, I just don't think they're going to be that pass heavy. I actually haven't projected for bottom seven in the league in pass attempts this season. There's a lot of mouths to feed in this offense. They got Kittle, who showed a lot of chemistry at Purdy last year. Christian McCaffrey, who showed a lot of chemistry. Debo is now back and in a better situation and better weight. I just think that Ayuk has an uphill battle to finish inside of this top tier.
Nobody's getting more buzz, Joe, than Brandon Ayuk right now out of camp and how he's looking.
Baker Mayfield and Kyle Trask. Nobody's going to – I mean, you're talking about, like, pass happy? I mean, like, the unhappiness of the passing in Tampa is terrifying to me. I cannot live in the past. 700 attempts for Tom Brady is gone. Those days are over. The quality of whatever was left from Tom Brady is gone, and it is a downgrade of significant proportions. You can't live in the past with Evans. You can't live in the past with Godwin. I'm going to live in the future with Ayuk. I do agree with Billy, though. There might be some limitations there. I like him as ADP better than Debo, but I'm telling you right now, like, I'm going to put my horse bet on Brandon Ayuk before I put it on anybody in that Tampa Bay offense, because I think that offense is going to get real ugly real fast.
And we've kind of gone through a lot of the C and D guys so far, or the B and C guys, so the list looks kind of similar. So let's move down to the D tier real quick, and I'm going to put cluster some of these guys together, and you guys are going to have to say buy or sell at the ADP. Joe, Mike Evans at his current price ADP, D tier wide receiver, buy or sell?
Sell. Sell all day long for all the reasons I just said.
Billy, buy or sell?
Buy.
Okay, buy at ADP. Juju Smith-Schuster. I set somebody up here. Billy, sell, buy or sell, sell at
sell,
ADP?
Sell, 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 sell.
Joe, D tier?
I'm going to buy. You know why?
Get out of here, Joe.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. I'm going to buy because it's dirt cheap. And look, they went out and signed him. Look, I don't think he's going to be good, but in full point PPR leagues, you're telling me he's not going to catch five balls for 50 yards and he'll give me 10 points. And maybe on the, you know, the four times he scores a touchdown, he'll be okay. Look, I'm not saying it's going to be good or even great. I'm saying in a PPR league at the current ADP, which is pretty cheap, I'll take my shot there because I don't believe in Devontae Parker.
But you said at the top of the hour, it's half PPR, Joe. We can't take him in half PPR.
I'm putting the caveat. Half PPR, I don't love it. I'll tell you what.
Again.
I'll tell you what, man. I'll move this goalpost around here. I am not touching anybody in Tampa.
When Juju's highlights are TikTok, you have to look elsewhere.
I'm not saying I like it. I'm just saying I'm buying it at the ADP. I don't say if they like it.
Referee's
like
having a really tough time here. I'm getting punched. I'm getting spit on. It's ridiculous. Marquise Brown, buy or sell at ADP, Joe?
Sell. Offensive line is terrible. I don't know when Kyler Murray's coming back. I think it's a little too rich right now.
Yeah, buy or sell at ADP as well. I'm going with Rondell Moore.
Look, now we're all friends again.
All right, last one on the D tier, Sky Moore. Billy, buy or sell at ADP?
Big buy.
Buy. Yes, look at all coming together. Buy. He's working out of the slot. He's taking all the first team reps. I think this is a guy, too, you're going to start to see tick up more and more in ADP. I just got him in Flex League on the cheap. And I'm telling you right now, I think that's the last kind of draft I'm going to get him on the cheap for.
Yeah, he shouldn't be going where he's going. He's mispriced.
Agreed, right now. 100%.
The last one is in the F tier.
But we just agreed on two. You're going to push it one more?
Well, this is just the last tough. Quick thing here. Okay. F tier, you actually, Joe, have like Mike Evans, Cortland Sutton, Jacoby Myers. Billy, you've got like Sutton, Jahan Dotson, Pickens. If you had to buy a D tier wide receiver with a quick response, Billy, which of your F tier wide receivers would you buy?
Yeah, I'm big on Cortland Sutton this year. And the reason is because we see this new offense. We got Peyton now inside the coach, or he's the coach here now for Denver. Lombardi is the offensive coordinator, and people don't like Lombardi, but he has a history with X receivers. We saw a career year with Michael Thomas. We saw a career year with Mike Williams. Cortland Sutton just happens to play that X receiver role. I am extremely happy about Cortland Sutton and his costs. I don't think he should be going this far away from Jerry Jeudy. Expect a bounce back year from Russell Wilson as well.
All right, F tier wide receiver, Joe, what's
I'm going to stick with it. I'm throwing darts all day at the Chiefs offense. So after I take Sky Moore, I'm going to take Rushy Rice too, and just see, because I don't believe in Kadarius Toney. And I think if you do at this point, you're going to be sunk. You're going to be in the bottom of a well somewhere with Kadarius Toney. But Rice is that guy for me. I really like the tape out of college. I like what he did in college. And I think that if you saw in this offseason how he's working with Mahomes, I think that portends very well to, as the season goes on, if you're patient, I think it'll be rewarded when you're in like week 8, 9, 10.
Ding, ding, ding. That is it, gentlemen. One of the great things about Fantasy Pros as well are the tools that you guys can check out. The Fantasy Gods at your hand. Use the Draft Wizard and pick your favorite analyst ranks and so much more. Go to fantasypros.com/draftwizard for this draft season. You guys can find Joe on Twitter or X or whatever it's called today at JoePizzaPS17. Billy, you can find on Twitter at FFMuzio, M-U-Z-I-O. You can find me and all my chaos at IsItTheWelsh. And we're going to run it right back with you guys next time right here on your home for fantasy sports. It is Fantasy Pros. Bye-bye for now, friends.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Fire the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.